It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Week after Louisiana Tech drops an expected one to Auburn, 45-17 on the Plains. They'll take on UTEP Saturday inside Joe Ie Stadium for the annual Redout. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into some more Auburn talk and more Louisiana Tech stuff.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com or tweet us your questions with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Former Bulldog pitcher Ben Carlisle joining us again this week. This week we're going to get his feet a little wetter. Last week he sat in here and observed us, the madness that is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Not sure we're always on point, but we try. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate y'all bringing me on.
Oh, you're welcome. We're looking forward to your insight as a former athlete for Tech. Guys, Saturday, of course, 45-17, Tech lost to Auburn, and it was a game that I was impressed at how they played.
I was too, but I was also impressed with the picks. We were close. Score predictions, we were close.
Man, you know me. I've gotten so bad at this in 7 years of doing this that after I've made the pick, if you ask me 4 minutes after I've made
you don't
made,
even remember what your pick was.
I have
was.
No idea what the score was.
You said you said it was going to be 49-21. I said it was going to be 45 to three scores, either two touchdowns and a field goal or two touchdowns or three touchdowns. And John said it was going to be 45-14, something like that. We were all within 3 points of it. Pretty good.
I'm glad you told me because I never would have remembered.
Pretty good.
It won't happen again.
No, exactly.
It won't happen again.
That will not happen again. John, you're exactly right. That won't happen again. But it's nice that it happened at least once.
You look at that game and let's take away 10 plays, and of course you can't. But
sure.
That's what we can do sitting in this studio. Tuesday after the game on Saturday, you take 10 plays away from that game, this score is not even remotely the same.
Well, you're looking at 24-10 in the third quarter. Defense forces a three and out, get the ball back, and at that point I had almost convinced myself that Louisiana Tech was fixing to make this a ball game, which at that point I was impressed already. The defense came to play. They absolutely came to play. They stood up to what was a very stout running game by Auburn. Cameron Artis Payne is no joke. That is a big man, a talented man. Nick Marshall, of course, with that zone read, can be very explosive and broke a couple. But as you mentioned, you take out 10 plays. It's a totally different game. The final score was 45-17. But honestly, your offense throws an interception to number one, Williams, defensive end or defensive tackle, brings it down inside the five, and they punch it in. Trent Taylor fumbles. They get a score right after that, and then, of course, the punt return for a touchdown. Take those 21 points off the board that your defense really wasn't responsible for, and you're absolutely in that game.
The drive that I point back to that really may have been the biggest turning point in the game is that third quarter right after the kickoff. When Tech, you got a 7-play drive that went for only 34 yards because of all the penalty yardage.
Right. Was that, if I remember correctly, that was the drive where Paul Turner had a pretty big gain, and then at one point your second and 30 and third and 29. And
I believe so because I'm looking at the drive chart. So I'm,
sure, sure.
But
penalties set you back, and you're looking at second down and 30. Third down and 29. I mean, at that point, that was really what could have been a turning point in the game. Paul Turner, you get exactly what you wanted. Paul Turner makes a huge play on what was just a little dink pass and broke some tackles, showed his shiftiness. He's not exactly fast, but he's definitely quick. And then, of course, you shoot yourself in the foot.
Levander Liggins drops an interception. Kentrell Bryce drops an interception. Xavier Woods is in perfect position for the jump ball. Now, let's be honest. Quan Bray is really stinking good for Auburn. He had a punt return for a touchdown and right two
receiving touchdowns as well. And Duke
so
Williams
he had three total touchdowns.
Duke Williams was also very good, which we knew going into the game. I mentioned last week, Duke Williams was the only receiver on that team that had registered more than six receptions on the season. So Duke, they were wanting to get the ball to Duke Williams, and Louisiana Tech did a good job of bottling him up, except for the one somehow or another. I mean, Xavier Woods and Kentrell Bryce are in perfect position on that ball. Xavier Woods is about
to attack the ball. You can't wait for it to come to you.
Xavier Woods is about to pick it off, and Duke Williams extends his left arm and pulls it into his body, and it goes from an interception to a touchdown like that.
And that's what Skip Holtz referred to Duke Williams as Spider-Man.
Right.
Was after that play. Ben, you look at the game. What were your impressions?
My impressions were, I feel like we played very well on defense throughout the game. That surprised me. We kept the run game in check. I feel like we kept the big chunk yard gains to a minimal. Granted, Nick Marshall, he killed us on the zone read. Numerous times he would pick up first downs to keep drives going. But other than Artis Payne's 37-yard run, I mean, he had 21 carries, 79 yards, which is very pedestrian for an Auburn team that is built on explosive plays in the running game.
I can't disagree with that at all. Defensively, Tech stopping the interior run, I think, was a combination of Vernon Butler is an SEC caliber defensive tackle. Tony Johnson he would play snaps at an SEC team. He's good enough too. Those two, to me, held down the fort in the middle of the field. And then Devin McKinney, in his fifth year, when Tech took him as a late pickup out of a junior college, I never expected anything out of Devin McKinney.
That's what I wanted to mention, was Devin McKinney did a really good job on what has been what is right now a pretty depleted defensive line. No Vontarius Dora, no Malcolm Pichon, and he's played well. He's played really well, and he played well against Auburn. And as you mentioned, a player that not many expected much from.
And as far as not much from, I would say that nobody expected anything from him. One thing that Skip Holtz has talked about really since the Oklahoma game is Tech doing their job. I did a piece this afternoon on it that I think is pretty decent. Go check it out on bleedtechblue.com. It's a free read. I think you'll enjoy it. But every game there's been moments where an individual player has not done their job, and it's resulted in something that is pretty significantly negative for Tech. Against Oklahoma, there was lots of it. I think he said there was 50-something miss assignments, which is why Tech never looked like they were in that game. But let's look at the interception that Auburn returned to the five. There's a linebacker that blitzes off the edge. He makes Mitchell Bell think he's in man coverage on Trent Taylor. Whenever the ball snapped, he has no interest in covering Trent Taylor. He goes directly for Cody Sokol. Mitchell Bell double teams the defensive end with Joseph Brunson, and he looks up, and there goes the linebacker, completely untouched at Cody Sokol. Cody gets rid of the ball right at his hands. It's batted up. The freakish number one defensive tackle for Auburn takes it 40 yards.
Right, Montrevious Williams.
For the score, and Trent Taylor tries to grab the ball away from him. I thought that was kind of funny. But if he picks up that block, they don't have the ball on the 5-yard line.
Right.
You can't give anybody a 5-yard field and not expect them to score.
Especially against the number 5 team in the country in their house. You just can't do that.
Without a doubt. Let's go to our weekly caller, Rafe. How's it going, my friend?
I mean, it's going good. You doing all right, J4 and Jared?
We're doing great.
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I think that this New Mexico State game is whenever – it's not just your job, because that is misalignments, you know, just those type of
New areas. Mexico State.
Yeah, whatever, you know, UTEP, somewhere out west.
they would take great offense to that.
Well, yeah, that's true. This particular game is a game where Holtz's slogan, a work in progress, begins to unravel, or it begins to make more sense. Because if we could see progress from week to week, which I thought we did in Auburn, I mean, LSU should be loving us right now the way we beat them up. I mean, they were expecting to physically dominate, and they, on the scoreboard, they did dominate, but physically they did not. And so we entered, some of the best players and really went toe-to-toe with them physically the entire game. But this next game against UTEP, we're going to see if there's progress, because it's one thing to say that you cut out this mistake and that one, but we have to see the culmination of that and beating a team that we should beat.
Oh, I completely agree with you, and I will get into more of this, but I will say this. My opinion, their defensive game plan will be carbon copy North Texas, but they just have a quarterback that can actually complete a pass. That old boy that played for North Texas that night, he literally couldn't have put it in the ocean from the beach. I think you could. It's a carbon copy defensive game plan for UTEP, because they are pretty one-dimensional, but Jameel Showers can complete a pass if he has to.
Yeah, and that running back is really good.
Oh, he is.
He got over 100 on us last year. We had trouble containing him offensively. He hit some big plays on us. This is a game that I think that if our offense can produce, especially early, I think we can control it defensively. And so, all that aside, I mean, there's guys each week that step up and play better and better. I mean, what about Pinson this past week? I mean, that guy was awesome. And we've seen that just from week to week with different players. But now I think that all of our playmakers are pretty much emerged, and now we need to put it together.
I agree with you. Thanks for the call, Rafe.
All right, man.
At one point, Sean Isabella asked a good question Monday that – Are they past using experience as an excuse? And no coach likes to hear the word excuse in a press conference. So, I'm not so sure that they've used it as a quote unquote excuse. But to Rafe's point, you've seen something now out of Terrell Pinson. If you've seen it once, you can see it nine more times, or how many games we got? Eight left. You can see it eight more times if you've seen it once. Cody Sokol has performed. You can't see Northwestern State again, because you've seen what he can do. It's all preparation. You got to get in the film room. You got to know what these guys are doing. You can't learn from the coaches via osmosis. And Skip talked about that Monday, that it's on them, and now that they've seen their ability, that's what they expect. You look at Adarius Barnes struggled early. He played a whole lot better against Auburn. We've seen it once. Now do it another eight times. If Tech can put a complete game where nobody has any gaffes, they have the potential to be able to win out.
I agree. And you don't even have to play perfect games to get some of the opponents that are left.
Oh, for sure. The hardest game left on the schedule is UTSA, and it's not even close.
Absolutely. 100%. I totally agree. I think maybe the next closest one will be Western Kentucky, and it's still not close to the UTSA game.
We'll talk more Auburn in the next segment. Then at 6:30, we'll talk about Conference USA football. 6:45, UTEP. We'll have a guest. I cannot remember the guy's name. I'll tell you right after the break. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford here, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King, sports editor of the Tech Talk at Louisiana Tech this year. We haven't mentioned that.
Right, sports editor of the Tech Talk, sports editor of the Land Yap.
Married man. Busy fella.
Senior at Louisiana Tech, my fourth year.
Busy fella. Ben Carlisle joining us. I told you I'd give you the name of the guy that was just going to join us at 6:45. Alex Nicholas from MinorRush.com going to join us here on Bleak Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into more Auburn talk.
Bleak Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish-wide partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Of course, you can join the conversation on the Keller Williams Parish-wide partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can tweet with the hashtag BTBRadio, and we will answer your questions on the air.
We all said that we wanted to talk about third down conversions in this segment. While Tech did a good job of stopping what was the number one team in the country on third down,
63.6% completion on third down was what Auburn was. I mean, conversion rate was what Auburn was averaging going into that game.
Neither team could convert a third down. Nobody had very good third down statistics Saturday. While Tech went 5 of 18, and Auburn went 6 of 14, so they finished around 40-something percent. Tech, not even close to 40%.
They held them to less than 50% on third down conversions, but the biggest part, that statistic is impressive, but even more so was the average distance they had to convert that third down.
Yeah. You got to keep offenses like UTEP behind the chains.
Consistently on third down, the average distance they had to complete a pass in order to get the first down was 7.3 yards.
That's very impressive. So Auburn predicates their offense on third and short.
Absolutely.
Moving the chains.
Most running teams do. And that's the, and like I said, UTEP's going to be that way Saturday. North Texas was that way. ULL's that way. I mean, most teams don't want to be left with third and long, third and medium. You want to be left with third and less than five.
Exactly.
Also, considering that Auburn is a running team, and typically when they have the ball, the clock is ticking, Louisiana Tech was able to control the time of possession, 31 minutes and 43 seconds to 28-17
for
Auburn.
That probably swung a little bit in the second half.
It did. I think you're right. I think it did. Of course, Auburn had a couple of big plays on short drives.
I take that back right here. Time of possession in the first quarter was Tech 7 minutes 11 seconds to Auburn 7:49. Second quarter, Tech 7:54 to Auburn 7:06. Third quarter, Tech had it for 9 minutes.
Wow.
To Auburn's 5 minutes and 48 seconds. The fourth quarter was basically even, 7:26 to 7:34. So you have to keep the ball out of that kind of offense's hands. In the third quarter, was that quarter where they had the opportunity to make something happen and just didn't?
Yeah, they only came away with the one score by Kenneth Dixon there, a 1 yard run. That was after Kenneth had, when he came back into the game, he had had an X-ray at halftime on his foot,
which Holtz said was a sprained ligament in his foot. On yesterday at the press conference, they should know more today. We'll have more updates on that on BleedTechBlue.com.
But Jared Kraft, Tevin King kind of were the go-to running backs on that drive until they got down to the end zone, and, of course, Kenneth Dixon pounded it in. But you had the ball for 9 minutes in the third quarter, and your only scoring drive took 2 minutes and 22 seconds. So you have, 7.5 minutes of the ball and don't do anything with it. And that was the most frustrating part of the third quarter, because at that point you're looking at 24-10. You have the ball. You could easily have made it a one possession game, and everything was set up to do so. Like we mentioned earlier, Paul Turner had a big play, got him down close, and then unfortunately penalties turned out to be the difference maker.
Well, you look at the national statistics. Auburn is now second in the country in third down conversion to Alabama. I'm sure they're going to really like that. You look at Tech as a whole, nothing really stands out. But what I like about it is they're all close. You look at, there's a lot in the 50s and the 60s, and that's where Tech, if they're living in that range in national statistics, they're going to be okay. You look at fourth down conversion, they're 12th in the country, but there's not many attempts there, so they're going to, there's going to be a lot of ties.
Sure, they were 1 for 1 against Auburn, converted a, was that the play where the, was that the play action to Josh Gaston.
It was.
The 36-yard.
Beautiful play.
36-yard pass to Josh Gaston on
play
action.
Did anybody else go, here comes a fumble, here comes a fumble? I could tell by the way he was running with it. I was like, this is going to be bad.
I thought that they were going to hand it off to Kenneth Dixon and let him run it up the middle and just, you know. And apparently that's what Auburn thought too, because they brought the entire house. And then, of course, Gaston's open for a 36-yard game, which what I thought, regardless of whether or not they, you know, are able to duplicate that type of success with play action in the future, it was still nice to see that wrinkle in the offense.
Well, what it does going forward is it makes teams respect you in the passing
Absolutely.
Game on fourth and short.
Absolutely.
So it backs the linebackers up a step. It backs the safeties up a step or two. So now you've got more time to get to the line of scrimmage. So that's what it does more than anything. And I still like this roster going forward. There's a lot. I don't know how you and Jason do it on those post-game call-in shows. There's a reason I've never done it, because I'm not real objective that quickly after a game, and you have to be.
Sure.
You got to be thinking with your head immediately, and that's not always the easiest thing in the world. And I had a Tech fan that was direct messaging me on Twitter, and he's about ready to jump off a cliff during the Auburn game and after the Auburn game yesterday. He direct messed me again. He goes, it wasn't what I made it out to be. I'm like, well, of course it wasn't, because you've got to look at it objectively. It's becoming easier for me, but it's still not the easiest thing in the world. Goes back to what we were talking about during the break. You have to look at it objectively, and it's not always the easiest, especially with all three of us being alums of the university.
Well, one point I want to make is yesterday in the press conference, Hunter Lee said he was nuts about how talented this team is. He said this team has the talent to win a championship. And that's a senior wide receiver that's played a lot of snaps in his college career, and he knows that this team has a chance to go somewhere with this season.
I liken this season to, was it 2011 when they went on that run to get to the Poinsettia Bowl?
Right. Seven consecutive victories after switching to Colby Cameron. And
That's what I liken this season to. This team is developing an identity. They are beginning to realize who they are, what they've got. Just got to keep it rolling. And what I like about – and this goes to coaching – is none of them have dropped their head. They've stayed confident. It's real easy to get down on yourself when you go on the road and get beat 40-something to 17 two times in five games.
Well, it's real hard to not hang your head when you lose at home to an FCS opponent, and then you could easily go lay an egg at Auburn. But this team came out and competed, and they had a shot till late third quarter when, at the end of the day, the SEC just got the best of us. But that's how it goes a lot of times when you're going into a big-time venue.
Oh, without a doubt. The lights are bright. And it's not easy to focus down the stretch and focus for 60 minutes when you know that you've been fighting your tail off. You've got a two deep that you feel good about, but they've got a four deep that they feel good about. The depth is what I was just amazed by with both Oklahoma and Auburn. And they talked about during the game, my not best friend Brent Musburger, and I did like Jesse Palmer. I think he did a really good job. But they talked about late in the year when it starts playoff implications and all that kind of thing, where they'll start taking two games in account with common opponents with Auburn and OU. I stand by the fact that OU is far better than Auburn.
I agree.
I think that there's some spots that Auburn's got better athletes, but top to bottom, OU's a better football team, and I'm almost ready to say that I'd be shocked if they're not in the national championship game. I think they're a shoe-in for the Final Four. The only game that matters for they've got a one-game season. Sean Fox and I were talking about it this afternoon on Facebook. They've got a one-game season, and that's Baylor. When Baylor comes to Norman, that's essentially the only game left on their schedule.
Exactly.
Nobody else is going to challenge
exactly.
them.
Exactly. I think both teams, OU and Auburn, both of them have to prove they can throw the ball. Trevor Knight's unproven. He hasn't really had to throw it yet so far this year.
With those backs, you don't have to.
Absolutely.
In that offensive line, you don't have to.
Absolutely.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, Conference USA football. Some surprising losses out there. namely UTSA losing to FAU. Never saw it coming. We'll talk more Conference USA football right on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King and Ben Carlisle joining me today. Jared, a couple of sponsors, and we'll get into Conference USA football.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can use the hashtag BTBRadio on Twitter, and we will answer your questions on the air.
You had one more point, Jared, that I think we would be remiss not to mention. How many plays was that over 20 yards that Auburn was able to complete or have?
There's one passing play to Quan Bray from Nick Marshall. Nick Marshall had been
the scramble drill,
basically a Johnny football type throw. Xavier Woods was in position to make a play on the jump ball and just
didn't.
It was just Quan Bray's a very athletic individual. And anyway, so 44 yards on that one, 37 yards on a car on an Cameron Artis Payne run, and then a 31-yard, just kind of a breakdown, really. Nick Marshall scampered for 31, but that's it. The next biggest play was 18 yards. Louisiana Tech was not beat on big plays.
So at risk of not sounding like complete homers, it's not 10 plays that Tech was away. It's probably closer to 5.
You take those three away, the punt, the fumble, and the interception, 6 plays, and it's
less than 10 plays, and the game's 24-21-ish.
Absolutely. 100%. There's 100%. You're less than 10 plays.
I'm taking a tangent because that's what I do. The 100%, is that something the kids are saying these days? Is when you agree with somebody? Because I hear it on the television. I sound like an old man, but it's something that are you with me, Ben? Have you been
hearing? I believe so.
100%. I'm like, well, what else percentage would it be? 80% agree with you. I'm picking. Saturday, inside Conference USA, UTEP traveled to Kansas State, lost by 30, scored 28 in the second half, 21 in the fourth quarter. We'll get more into the UTEP, and we'll get more into that game later. Western Kentucky traveled to Navy at Annapolis, Maryland, took care of the midshipmen, 36-27. Kind of a surprise there for me. The Navy's a tough team to play at home. So for Western Kentucky to go on the road and beat them, Western Kentucky is legit. They've got a very good quarterback. There's not a whole lot of defense being played in Conference USA right now, and that's clear by looking at the scores. Florida International travels to Birmingham and knocks off UAB 34-20. How did your boy do?
Jordan Howard. Okay. First of all,
here comes the excuses.
No excuses.
I have no idea how he did.
No excuses. Jordan Howard had 100 yards. He had 102 yards on 21 carries, 5 yards per carry.
Well, then he had a good day.
He had a good game. He didn't have any touchdowns. They put in this bigger running back, Clements, and he robbed him of his touchdown. But regardless,
who had the fumbles? There's 2 fumbles lost.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. UAB threw 4 picks, which FIU turned into, I believe, 2 touchdowns. They did. So FIU scored had 2 interception returns for touchdowns, and then Jordan Howard did have a fumble.
So he's still a player.
He fumbled the ball. He's a human, all right? He's human.
he is human, and he can play football. He is very good. Tech, of course, traveled to Auburn, lost 45-17. UTSA traveled to Florida Atlantic. That's a long trip. Lost 41-37. Florida Atlantic is the sleeper on that side of the conference in the East, in my opinion, outside of Marshall. So maybe it shouldn't have surprised me that much. I think the West is weaker than the East, unlike last year where I thought the West was better than the East. But you look at the stats. UTSA turned the ball over twice. So did FAU. FAU threw the ball for nearly 300 yards. So it didn't look like they had much success stopping the pass. They both averaged 3.5 yards a carry. So they both had success stopping the run. And it's just surprising to me that UTSA traveled to the Owls and dropped one. So that tells me that maybe UTSA is not as good as we thought they were.
Well, really, the difference in this one was the interception return for a touchdown. Crevon LeBlanc for FAU. I'm not sure how you say his name, but LeBlanc.
I'm going to go Crevon.
Crevon. It has C-R-E apostrophe V-O-N.
Crevon.
So Crevon maybe. Regardless, 76-yard interception return for a touchdown. It cut it to 17-14 UTSA at that point. But, I mean, the final score is 41-37, and that's kind of your difference.
But on the same token, you look at FAU scored with 22 seconds remaining in the second quarter to make it 20-17. With 4 seconds remaining in the second quarter, UTSA had already scored again to make it 24-20. So they got that seven back, in my opinion, before the second half began with a quick – it looks like they probably squib kicked it, left UTSA with a short field. Oops. Now it's 24-20.
Well, with 20 seconds left in the game, which the UTSA, which prides itself on defense, should have never allowed this to begin with. But you have the 37-34 lead, and you allow FAU to make a 9-play, 93-yard drive in a minute 55 and score the game-winning touchdown with 20 seconds
That's
on
fair.
The clock. So maybe that UTSA defense isn't all that we thought it was. Jaquez Johnson, quarterback for FAU, was 24 of 34 for 295 yards and 3 touchdowns.
And then Tucker Carter, 2 picks, 1 TD, was only 20 for 39. Not a great percentage.
Needless to say, Larry Coker's return to the Sunshine State was unsuccessful.
That's a good point. Hadn't thought about that. I don't think about those storylines, though. I'm so bad at that. But good point. Larry Coker spent a long time at the U. So that's interesting. Rice traveled to Southern Miss to the dumpster fire. That is Southern Miss. 41-23, they were victorious over the Golden Eagles. For some reason, I still expect every week for Southern Miss to bounce back, and they just never do. They must be that far from riding the ship. It befuddles me. It was 20-10 at the half, 27-16 after the third, and 41-23 is your final. It was never in doubt. Am I the only one that is surprised that Southern Miss can't get it fixed?
I'm a little younger than you are, and in recent memory, Southern Miss hasn't been like they were for 10 or 11 consecutive seasons there, you know, bowl appearances, bowl wins, consistently one of the top programs. And
when I was in college, back in the dark ages, not really, I graduated from Tech in 06, they were the team in non-AQ football that you wanted to be. So from 06 to 15, less than 10 years, they've gone from Mountain High to the doldrums.
Mountain High to Valley Low.
Valley Low. Look at that. Let's see what it did there. But that's what's just blows my mind. Now they've turned into a pretty much they just throw the ball. I don't know if it's because they can't run the ball. They had 40 yards rushing Saturday against Rice.
1.7 yards per carry against Rice.
The running back, 10 carries for 40 yards, George Payne. Nick Mullins, 24-45 for 283, 6.3 yards a completion. They must not be able to get separation on the outside.
They threw the ball 46 times, and they ran it 23.
2-1. And every time I see that punter, I think that's their punter, Tyler Sarazen, I think of Friday Night Lights. Because it looks like – what was his name? Anybody else a Friday Night Lights person in here? Y'all are missing out. looks like one of their characters' names. Y'all are really missing out if you
I've
don't know.
I've always
Friday
wanted to watch Friday Night Lights, but I've never actually done so.
Not the movie, the TV show.
Right, the TV show. Apparently, was Tim McGraw in that show?
He was.
Okay.
No, he was in the movie.
He was in the movie. Okay, well, I haven't seen the movie either, but there's this part of the movie that I've seen, of course, where he fusses at him for fumbling and he tapes the lamp to his hands or whatever. That's the only part of the movie I've ever seen.
You need to go Netflix it. Good flick. Good show. Then this week, looking at Conference USA action, Tech, of course, will host UTEP on Fox College Sports. Did not know I had that channel. Had to find it. It was close to the SEC network in those numbers. DirecTV, it's in the 600s. I think it's 608.
Oh, perfect. I have DirecTV as well.
608, I believe, is the channel. Although in their HD channels, you've got 608-1 and 608-2. It's neither of those. It's just 608. I never could find it. I had to find it with my app and set record. That's how I did it. Marshall travels to Old Dominion. That'll be a relatively short trip. They don't have many short trips. Neither does Old Dominion. Southern Miss travels to Murfreesboro, Tennessee to take on Middle Tennessee. That game won't be close. I don't think that Old Dominion game will be close. People act like that Old Dominion quarterback is something he's not. That game won't be close. North Texas travels to Indiana. Let's see how different North Texas is with this new quarterback. That game may get interesting. Tech may be thankful that they caught North Texas early in the season and not late, and when that terrible quarterback was playing. New Mexico travels to UTSA, so the Roadrunners host the Lobos. The Hilltoppers host the Blazers. UAB travels to Western Kentucky. And Hawaii travels to Houston to play Rice. Marshall, Old Dominion, I don't think that one's close. Southern Miss, Middle Tennessee, I don't think that one's close.
Now, Marshall is favored by 18 over Old Dominion. Middle Tennessee is favored by 18 over Southern Miss.
North Texas, Indiana, that game's probably not a close line from Vegas, but I think it could be close.
Yeah, that's a 14-point Indiana. Indiana's favored by 14. Boy, you'd have to think. Not that we condone betting on this show, but North Texas should very well cover that.
Could be a smart bet.
But this Indiana team did beat Missouri 31-27. So,
who just knocked off South Carolina.
Right, but then they went and lost to Maryland. So it depends on which Indiana team shows up.
New Mexico at UTSA. UTSA will handle the Lobos. They're terrible. They've been terrible since Brian Urlacher left, and that was a really long time ago. Brian Urlacher has not played for the Lobos. He is actually retired from the NFL, so that tells you how long it's been since he played for New Mexico. UAB, Western Kentucky, that game won't be close either. Western Kentucky will roll over UAB. We'll get into predictions of Tech and UTEP. Rice and Hawaii, that could be the pillow fight of the week of the bottom 10 on ESPN.
Rice is favored by only 7.
And Hawaii is awful.
Hawaii is really bad.
They're talking about dropping that football program, by the way.
The over-under for that game is 54. Not a lot of points look to be scored this week in Conference USA.
People will be sleeping in the stands.
Marshall and Old Dominion is a 76-point over-under. UAB, Western Kentucky, 75. And those are the only ones that are above 60. We got a 61, North Texas and Indiana. That's it. So not many. Vegas is not expecting Conference USA to score very many points this weekend. And Louisiana Tech is favored by 13 over UTEP, and the over-under for that game is 60 points.
Let's take the break right here, and then we'll talk with Alex Nichols from MinorRush.com. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jared King, staff writer of BleedTechBlue.com, sports editor of Tech Talk, sports editor of Lanyap Yearbook. Titles go on for this man.
Yeah, first national debate postgame call-in show host on Z107.5 after every
man. If you had a business card, it would not fit in your pocket.
No, you're absolutely right. I'd have to do front and back.
It's true.
It cost more, so I probably wouldn't do it.
Former Louisiana Tech pitcher Ben Carlisle joining us this week, hopefully for weeks to come as well. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Alex Nicholas from MinorRush.com. How's it going, Alex?
All right, guys. All right. Preparing for my own little podcast, too. So thanks for the warm-up.
Oh, you're welcome, man. How's the weather in Texas today?
You know what? It's real beautiful. I've been stuck in the office all day long, but I got out a little bit earlier, and it's warm, mid-80s, and can't really complain this time of year, man. It's probably the best weather, whatever you want to call it, weather period here in El Paso, late September, early October, man. So it's beautiful.
Well, good deal, man. Just give us a little preview of what you're expecting, and then we'll get into some more details. What are you expecting Saturday in this game?
Well, I'm expecting kind of exactly what happened last year. A lot of rushing yards, hopefully some defense from the orange and blue, and definitely just a close ball game. I mean, if you look at it, both of these teams have kind of had the same path towards this week, in a sense. You go back to Tech, who's played two really, really good top 10 caliber teams in Oklahoma and Auburn, and you look at UTEP, who played the Texas Tech team, who's, well, not what we expected them to be, and then you look into Kansas State last week, and we just got bushwhacked by them. But, you know, it's two teams kind of searching for some sort of identity heading into conference play, at full-time conference play, as Tech's already opened up with the conference game, and I think we're in for a barn burner, I think both sides, and, you know, I think a lot's going to be decided as far as who's for real and who's not in the Conference USA West.
In the Western Division, we all probably would have admitted that or agreed that UTSA was the team to beat, and then they go on the road and lose to FAU. So it seems like it's pretty open right now. UTEP likes to run the ball first, then they'll throw the ball second, maybe third, maybe fourth. They really want to establish the run game, correct?
Oh yeah, that's what it is, man. That's what they're about. Sean Cougar said it. I heard, you know, the interview with you guys on media day, and that's who they want to be. And a perfect example was at halftime. You know, UTEP's down, I believe it was 31-0. I'm trying not to remember that score too much, but you know, the guy for Fox Sports asked Cougar, you know, basically, you know, probably not blatantly, but basically, are you going to open it up in the second half? And Cougar flat out said, no, we know who we are. They're a running football team. I mean, when you have, you know, three or four running backs that could possibly start at any other running back needed school in the Conference USA, I mean, that's what you're going to do. And not only that, but, you know, the offensive line has really, really came together. This was a group that I was writing about over the summer that was going to be patched together, you know, using that term. And they really have been patched together, but they've gelled very well. You're talking about two freshmen in the interior and moving some experienced guys around that tackle. That's really been the key, you know, those guys up front to you know, big holes. And obviously Aaron Jones, I mean, the guy is just ridiculous, man. I mean, you look at that Texas Tech game, and he really at that point you think, oh, this guy can hang with these Big 12 schools or these Power 5 schools, and you see last week, you know, what Kansas State was able to do, but the kid is still a talent. I mean, and you go deeper, Nathan Jeffrey's been a bruiser, he's been a guy that's you know, the true thunder and lightning is going to be Jeffrey and Jones, and you know, those two guys really, really, you know, make defense is key in, but at the same time, you know, they get kind of predictable sometimes. I wrote about it this week. I would like to see a little more creativity as far as certain runs. You know, I can kind of guess when UTEP throws in a package, I can kind of guess where it's going to go based off who's coming on the field.
Well, it sounds a little bit like North Texas. North Texas is extremely predictable, and especially before they made the quarterback change. And I said this earlier on the show, I expect Louisiana Tech to come out, and it's going to be a carbon copy of their game plan defensively that they played against North Texas. Keep everything in front of them. Don't give up the big play. Stay in your gap. Stop the run and make them beat you through the air. Is that what you expect as well?
I think so, too, because you look at statistically, I mean, La Tech they forced their opponents into 111 yards negative in rushing, and with a guy like Vernon Butler in the middle, I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, I think a guy like Vernon Butler is really, really an NFL type of guy. Cougar talked about him in the presser, and I could really see that. I mean, they really just really bottled up North Texas's run. I actually saw that game, and I was really impressed, not only with the front, well, not only with the front four, but also with the safeties you guys have there. Darius Barnes, another guy that I believe is an NFL guy, you know, so it's really going to be a task, and you know, UTEP, you know, they'll keep pounding at you. You stuff it, we saw it, you know, last week, you know, had 30 yards in the first half, and they just kept pounding. That's what they're going to do. That's the identity Cougar wants, and, you know, if it works, it works. They're going to live and die by it, but, you know, Jameel Showers is also a capable passer. We kind of saw saw that in the second half. But, you know, I wrote also this week that it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the game plan is for UTEP, because we all know they're going to run. And, you know, Cougar kept talking about it. The reason why I say this is Cougar kept talking about the preseason, the non-conference preseason. You know, in a sense, it made me seem maybe he's hiding his cards or holding something back. So, you know, to me, that's what I would expect from a La Tech defense and from a UTEP offense. But, you know, when these games count and these games mean something more than just you're standing or collecting a check, who knows what Cougar's going to do.
I completely agree with his statement of it being the preseason. And when you're playing these money games, you're not going to reveal a whole lot. I mean, we saw it Saturday when Tech played Auburn. Tech was able to bottle up their run. Once they did, Auburn said, "Oh my gosh, we got to pull something out of this playbook so that we can make something happen." So they went a whole lot less vanilla. So they even considered that the preseason. They don't want to show too much on film. So I agree wholeheartedly with Coach Kugler's sentiments. But my question would be, do you think that UTEP can find success running the ball whenever, honestly, I mean, Auburn couldn't find a whole lot. UTEP couldn't. Or not UTEP, sorry. North Texas couldn't, and neither could Louisiana Lafayette. So what makes you what would you say is the biggest difference between UTEP and maybe those other guys?
You know, it's really – it's tough. I got to agree with you. You know, you look at La Tech, the rush numbers, they've only given up one big rushing game. Other than that, they balled it up. But I think it's just a culture. It's just really a culture that I think that UTEP, the guys are starting to feed in, and it's going to be tough, and UTEP is going to have to pass, especially on the road. That's just the way I look at it. You know, you can do what you want to do, but in these type of games, you got to have some type of playmaker. And I the reason why I think it's they're going to continue just to do is because it's just a culture. It's something that the players have kind of bought into, something the coaches just harp on every game. We're going to pound it. And Cougar said it perfectly in his presser the other day, right in front of me. Our goal is to have 40 carries. And to me, last game, you know, they had 40 carries last game. I know the average was maybe, you know, barely a clip under 2 yards at 1.9, you know, and UTEP still, you know, ran the ball. That's what they're going to do. And, you know, it was 31 attempts last week. But I just feel that Cougar has confidence against a defense like Tech that is very improved and is very good at stopping the run. And I think it's just an attitude of why I think UTEP will be able to hopefully have a successful run game. But there's no doubt that they are going to run it.
So from hearing you talk, I think you would consider Vegas crazy with their point spreads this week.
You know, I have, and that was what I was really going to open up with on my podcast. It was, you know, I never really look too big into the lines. I always like to get, so it's a good, you know, it gives us guys something to talk about. But I was actually just shocked with that. You know, I mean, I think La Tech should be favored. If I were to put a line, I would put La Tech between 4 and 5 points, maybe even 6, 7 as it goes up. But 13 was kind of crazy. Maybe they know something we don't know. I saw Sean Isabella also put out a nice tweet. What is Vegas know that he doesn't know? And I know he's, you know, the eyes and ears of La Tech out there. So, you know, that was very, very interesting line. Something kind of, like I said, I never really look into it, but when it makes me upset about that, you know, definitely. But I mean, it's going to be a close game, and we saw it last year. The key for UTEP is keeping Kenneth Dixon. I mean, as good as improved as everybody wants to talk about UTEP's defense, we're still giving up 6 yards a carry, which could possibly be leading to that, because Dixon had a big game last year. I don't even remember if he had, I believe he got into the 200s, but I mean, he's a capable guy, and that's really the big key for UTEP is to bottle him up. You know, and also Cody Sokol, that guy is real talented. You guys have 4 good receivers, you know, all slot guys that can give UTEP trouble. So I always pick a game of the week in Conference USA, and I try to stay away from UTEP games just for the homer, you know, the homer label. But I think this La Tech versus UTEP game is the game of the year so far as how good the game could be.
Give us a prediction.
Ooh, man, it's early in the week, man. It's early in the week. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you La Tech pulls this one out 37-31. I haven't seen UTEP's ability to stop that run when they need it. They've done well on third downs. We're at 30% on the year on defense turnover, so that's going to be a key. I just think Kenneth Dixon is that really good, and I think Cody Sokol with his receivers are that good, and I think La Tech pulls it out in a squeaker 37-31. That's my Tuesday prediction. It may get a little closer later in the week, but that's how I see it as I'm sitting right now.
Appreciate it, Alex, and tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Oh, man, we're at MinorRush.com, SB Nation site, man. We're on Twitter at SBN Minor Rush. We're on Facebook, Facebook.com. So that's Minor Rush. If you're looking for Sean Kugler's press conference, we have it up on SoundCloud, Minor Rush. And you can find me at A. Rod Minor Rush, and thank you guys for having me, man. I listened to you guys a couple of times. You guys do a good job over there.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's like he had that scripted. I could not have said all that that fast. Probably because I'm from Louisiana. We talk slow. We'll go with that. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, we'll give our thoughts on UTEP Louisiana Tech Saturday inside the Joe for the yearly Redout game. Come check us out right after the break.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Welcome back to Bleak Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford, publisher of BleakTechBlue.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into the UTEP talk.
Bleak Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join the conversation. Give us a call at Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can use the hashtag BTBRadio on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
It appears as if the line from Vegas is kind of leveled out. It opened up as a 9-point Louisiana Tech favorite Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Got all the way up to a 13.5-point favorite on one book. One over-under is out. It's already adjusted from 61.5 to 60 points. It seems to have leveled out about 12. Vegas is so rarely wrong that's why it's so difficult not to trust them.
Well, as he mentioned, UTEP can't stop the run. They're giving up 6.6 yards per carry. And a team that predicates themselves on the run, they only get 5.4 per carry, which is still not – I mean, it's not
their
bad.
Their run defense is 112th in the country, averaging giving up 228.5 yards a game.
Right, and that's the reason why when he mentioned that it was going to be close, honestly, Louisiana Tech could jump out. Assuming that they don't have the slow first quarter that they've been having so far this season, they could jump out to an early lead, and then what are you going to do, run your way back into the football game? No, absolutely not. You're going to have to pass, and this team is averaging 6.1 yards per pass, 139 yards passing per game.
And their pass offense is 117th in the country. Their rush offense is 20th in the country, but whenever you run the ball 40 times a game, I would hope if you're not at number 20 in the country, you're really struggling because if you're not running it, you're not doing anything else. We talked about Tech's statistical rankings. Tech has a lot of them that are in the 50s or the 40s to the 70s. There are a bunch for UTEP in the hundreds. They have not played as tough of a schedule early on as Tech has. Kansas Right. State is a top 25 team. Tech has played two top five teams. Their fourth down conversion percentage is 105th in the country. We've talked about that. That's kind of a bloated number. Total defense, 104th in the country. Total offense, 80th in the country. Tech's not far away from that either. Scoring defense, they're 96th, giving up 34 points a game. At red zone defense, 108th in the country at 93.8%. I believe Tech's not far from that either because their red zone defense, they've given up a lot of points in the red zone. Net punting, 111. 33.45 yards a punt.
It's not very good. Gerald Chouse had a 55-yarder last game.
If I had a punt game that was that bad, I think I might go for it on fourth down every time.
Yeah, or I mean, if it's
throw a pick
fourth and five or less, I'm probably going for it. If the punt team is that bad, I mean, goodness gracious.
And punt return yardage, they're only averaging 3.14 yards a punt return.
So I'm thinking that their coverage team, I mean, their blocking teams and stuff are probably not great. Their coverage teams probably aren't great either. When they're only putting the ball 33.5 yards, you got to get down there.
First down offense, they're 102nd in the country.
I think what we're saying is UTEP might not be that good.
I tend to agree with that, and I don't think that maybe Vegas is on to something.
Well, you have to look at their schedule. I mean, New Mexico and New Mexico State are not world beaters.
And they beat New Mexico by 7.
And they beat New Mexico State 42-24 at home.
Same New Mexico State team. What was that LSU score?
Like 63-7, something like that.
And the Tigers turned the ball over 4 times in the first quarter.
And they were playing freshmen. I mean, everybody for LSU is a freshman just about. So, yeah, and then Texas Tech game was 30-26 in El Paso. UTEP
but
narrowly
let's,
defeated.
Let's say this. That would be UTEP Super Bowl, and you're playing it at home.
Right, which is what I was going to mention.
How much higher can your players be for a game than playing a Big 12 Texas opponent at home?
That's a game I watched a couple weeks ago, late Saturday night game out in El Paso, and Texas Tech, they're having trouble this year.
They
Kingsbury
are.
Can't get the offense going.
Justin Stockton, the Texas Tech running back, 8 carries, 135.
Which is why we all tend to believe that Kenneth Dixon will have a good game. I think Jared Kraft is going to have a good game as well. And certainly if, which we didn't mention this earlier playing when we're talking about the Oklahoma game, I mean the Auburn game, if Louisiana Tech continues to do some of these things with these end arounds with Carlos Henderson, I mean, I know a lot of people don't necessarily like the end around, but he was averaging a gain of 5.5 yards per carry on that end
around. He's running 70 yards for five
right,
yards.
Yeah, he's running a lot for 5 yards, but regardless, it's working. And then the sweep with Tevin King.
I like
the sweep with Hunter Lee. Both of them were working as well.
It keeps the defense honest and keeps them from running downhill. I know fan is short for fanatic. So often, fans aren't looking at the big picture. They're looking at the small picture. And whether... We talked about this last year off the air about draw plays on third down. Yeah, if it's third and long, if it's third and 15 and you call a draw, does it look like you're giving up? Maybe, but you don't know what's going to happen. If they're expecting a pass and you hit them for a draw and it goes for 16, hey, look, it worked. Is anybody going to look back and say, hey, on third and 15 and they got it and they called a draw? Man, they shouldn't have done that. Some people are going to say it, but not many. If you do have that sweep and it goes for a yard, you're keeping the defense honest and keeping them from stacking the box on you and running downhill. You got to get defenses running sideline to sideline.
Sure. Well, and also in the future, teams go back and they watch tape. You do it twice in the season, and you're playing your 9th, 10th game.
They got to remember that you did it.
They've got to remember that. Hey, if they get in a situation where it's 3rd and 15, they're not scared to run a draw. They're not scared to run, you know, to run a draw when everybody's dropped back into coverage and they think it's going to be a pass, and you know, get one over on us. So no, you're absolutely right. But like you mentioned, oftentimes fans, the only thing that fans are concerned about maybe is not even necessarily that game. It's that quarter. It's that play, and that's the only thing they can think about. But really, these coaches are looking ahead as well.
Jamil Showers against Texas Tech. 9 of 25.
Texas A&M transfer as well.
Yeah, there was a reason he didn't play at Texas A&M.
Exactly, exactly. If he has one of those days Saturday night in Joe IA, it's going to be a long night for the Miners.
They completed 9 balls for 116 yards against Texas Tech. The reason I'm staying on that game is that is their most legitimate competition of the year. I mean, we could look at Kansas State as well, but you toss that one out just like you toss out Tech's games at Auburn and OU. If you're going to do it for Tech, you got to do it for those guys as well. ULL and North Texas are legitimate competition. Now you also got to talk about Tech's snafu against Northwestern State, but I like Tech's chances Saturday. The matchup seems to be favorable for Tech. Kansas State, they actually were able to bottle up Kansas State a little bit. They had 37 rushes for only 188 yards. Now UTEP 31 rushes for 59 yards, almost 2 yards a carry. Jake Waters for Kansas State 10 of 15 for 209. Jamil Showers missed 10, 18 or 28 for 201 and 4 touchdowns. All 4 came in the third and the fourth quarter. Defensively, I don't think they're going to be able to stop Tech. Tech's going to have to stop themselves, and that's just – I've said that that's the common theme on my piece today. It's do your job, and it's all about Tech and them taking care of business. UTEP has not recruited as well as Tech has in recent years. Tech should have the better athletes. Aaron Jones is a very good running back, without a doubt.
He is, but you know, he's carried the ball 89 times this season. He's got 596 yards. He's averaging 6.7 yards per carry. But really, if you go back and look at that stuff, he had 237 yards on 22 carries against New Mexico. That's 11 yards per carry for Aaron Jones. Also against New Mexico State, he had 168 yards. His most two productive games so far have been against New Mexico and New Mexico State. Surprise, surprise. So, with that being said...
And New Mexico's rush defense, for those keeping score at home, 124th in the country, giving up 303 yards a game.
Exactly. That's the reason why, you know, it's perspective. He's 5'10", 185 pounds. He's only a sophomore. His freshman season...
His upside's tremendous. He is a very good back. Sure. I don't think he's that good.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get at. Listen, Louisiana Tech was able to play really stout run defense against Auburn for most of the – really for three quarters of football. Cameron Artis Payne, Nick Marshall, certainly
– And rush defense, by the way, for those also keeping score at home, New Mexico State, 125th. Giving up 312.
See, that's what I'm saying. Thank you for finding those rankings, because that's exactly what I was trying to get at. Sure, he's got good numbers, but they're obviously very bloated. He's averaging 6.7 yards per carry, but again, that's including an 11 yard per carry game at New Mexico. Now, against Texas Tech, he had 22 carries for 144 yards, a couple of touchdowns. So,
and sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but. North Texas is number 11 in the country in rushing defense, giving up 87.3 yards a game.
And Louisiana Tech had...
Let's see. Don't have that stat. I'll have it in just a second.
Going back on your point about him rushing for 144 yards against Texas Tech, we have to keep in mind Arkansas gashed Texas Tech on the ground for four quarters.
Tech had 98 yards rushing against North Texas, so they did give up more than their average against Tech. And then we'll look at what ULL's rush defense is and where they rank. I would imagine they're going to be in the neighborhood of the 60s to the 70s would be my guess.
Let me tell you something about the Texas
97,
Tech.
So no, they're not that great.
Let me tell you something about the Texas Tech rush defense. UTEP, you know,
it's a sieve.
They gave up over 170 yards rushing to Central Arkansas, which was 40 more than they got on Central Arkansas. They gave up nearly 200 yards rushing to Central Arkansas in week one. So, sure, Aaron Jones may be and probably is, and I would say that he is a good running back. His statistics
are bloated.
Are bloated because he's faced some terrible run defenses.
So, and all in all, when you look at these statistics and statistical rankings, Vegas is not out of their mind.
No, I don't. I absolutely think Vegas has it as, like you mentioned, 12, 13, right around there, 60 points over under, and I think they've got it right where it should be.
It's not even the last segment, but I'm going to give my prediction because I'm ready. I'm going 48-21.
And those touchdowns for UTEP come...
Nah, who cares?
I gotcha. I don't want to give my prediction yet. It's not time. It's not time.
I just don't think that UTEP's better than North Texas, even with North Texas's quarterback who can't put it in the ocean from the beach.
I completely agree with that.
I do. I do agree with that
as well. And Tech's hosting UTEP and not playing on the road.
I mean, there's a reason why North Texas was projected at the beginning of the season to win Conference USA West or vibe with UTSA for that title, and it's because most thought that they were going to have a strong ground-and-pound run game and we're going to be really stout on defense, particularly against the run. UTEP, certainly that's not the case.
Even our friends at MasseyRatings.com have Tech winning.
What's the percentage?
69% Tech winning by 7%.
There you
they
have
think
it.
He's. They think they're crazy too. But I've seen Massey be wrong before, i.e. ULL, i.e. North Texas.
And Louisiana Tech has beaten the points every game this season, so it's not as if Vegas is always totally correct. But I do believe that we're at the point of the season now where Vegas has seen has a big enough sample size of each school to have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen.
And I think they're probably tired of missing on Tech.
Yeah, that too.
And I was wrong about the backdoor cover last week. Tech just straight up covered it.
Yeah, but you were wrong, but you were also right. You were wrong that the backdoor cover, but you were right that, sure enough, they did cover. So
there we go. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll get the other predictions. I don't even remember what I predicted. I told you I don't remember, and I truthfully don't remember what I said right this second. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm going to have to get John some new songs. Every evening when I'm editing this show, I hear the same songs every week. We got to get some new music. Thumbs up from Johnny. Agrees. Couple of sponsors, then we'll get into the predictions and recapping the show.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call during this last segment. Give us your thoughts, your predictions, 888-993-7762. It's the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762.
One game I did not mention, Thursday night game, Florida Atlantic at FIU. So FAU at FIU.
FAU should win that game by 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Does anybody remember the bottom 10 on ESPN.com where they used to always have just one spot for FAU and FIU and it just say F underscore U? And then it was an animated GIF and had their logos rotating.
John saying it's true. I've never seen it.
The bottom 10 is not as popular as it used to be. I don't really know why, but it was a good feature on ESPN.com. Recapping Conference USA, of course, FAU travels to FIU Thursday night at 6 Central. Marshall will go to Old Dominion Saturday for a 11 a.m. kickoff. Southern Miss at Middle Tennessee for another 11 a.m. kickoff. North Texas at Indiana for a 1:30 kickoff. New Mexico at UTSA for a 2:30 kickoff. UAB at Western Kentucky for a 6 p.m. kickoff. UTEP at Tech for a 6 p.m. kickoff. Inside the Joe, I think it's actually a 6:05 kickoff. Red out game, make sure you're wearing red, even though the slogan is Tech fans wear blue, except for Saturday. Even though... Soapbox time. I think the red out has ruined it, and now you've got people wearing red to games that aren't a red out. Unless it's a red out, wear blue. Soapbox complete. Hawaii travels to Rice for a 6 o'clock kickoff. That will close out the Conference USA lineup. I think that Kenneth Dixon probably goes for over 150 if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, Blake Martin and Jared Kraft go for over 150. I think Carlos Henderson gets him a long touchdown in this one. I don't know if it's going to come in the punt return game, the kick return game, or the passing game. I think it's he's due. He's been close. Cody Sokol will complete 60% of his passes. Will go for 250, maybe 300. Paul Turner will have a big game. Sterling Griffin will be that steady guy that he's been all year. I would like to see Sanford C get involved. He's been playing more at practice, getting more involved, so I think he's close to being able to contribute. Defensively, I think Tech's going to bottle up their interior running game. I think Terrell Pinson's going to have another good game. He's probably, on defensively, from the seniors, is probably the biggest NFL prospect, in my opinion. I think he's probably a little undersized for linebacker at the next level, and he hadn't shown a whole lot on tape for safety, so he's going to have to get in the right scheme, whether it's a 3-4 scheme or something like that, to play linebacker. LeVander Liggins is going to have a good game. Bryson Adarius Barnes is going to continue where he left off at Auburn. If safeties are going to continue to be what they are, those guys are impressive back there between Xavier Woods and Kentrell Bryce. I'd like to see Vontarius Dora back. I don't think we'll see him this week. I think they'll hold him out for the bye week next week. Houston Bates, I think he'll get a sack or two. What am I leaving out? I think that pretty much handles it. I'd like to. One thing that we haven't talked about is the move at offensive line. Kirby Wixon starting at center. Brunson played right guard last week against Auburn. I'd like to see if that's the lineup that changes, or what the lineup at offensive line will be.
Well, I do think that the center of that offensive line has certainly shored up since Kirby Wixon has come in at center and Brunson has moved over to right guard. I think at the beginning of the season, when they had the six-man or seven-man offensive line rotation, whatever it turned out to be, was a positive. Some were upset that maybe it meant Matt Moore didn't know who his best four offensive or best five offensive linemen were, or that, you know, maybe he didn't have a best five and was just trying to, you know, plug holes and fill gaps. But honestly, with the Kirby Wixon was a little bit of a disappointment when we discovered that he wasn't going to start at the beginning of the season, because center was such a big need for Louisiana Tech last year. But Wixon has moved his way into the starting lineup, and I think maybe Wixon just plays better in games than he does in practice. I've been told
he's a big boy.
I've been told by several that he just didn't practice well, particularly in the fall, or in the summer.
He lost a lot of weight from the spring to the fall, so he probably was getting used to playing at that weight. That may have been it.
And very well may have been. But
I think he lost 35 pounds.
I heard that it was 35 pounds that he lost. And, of course, Brunson moving over
to
right guard.
In case you've seen him lately.
Yeah.
If you would tell somebody off the street when they look at the fella, he just lost 35 pounds, they'd call you a liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirby Wixon's a big boy. And Brunson has played well at right guard. And I think that, you know, that should continue.
And Greenwald's played well at right guard. And so has Mahaffey.
The offensive line is better than people give it credit for. I really believe that.
Especially the interior. I think the tackles have struggled at times. Against UTEP, something we haven't talked about defensively, they send a lot of pressure. Scott Stoker, former coach at Northwestern State, he dials up a lot of pressure. So, as Coach Holtz said in his presser, you've got to block an area and not necessarily a person. And they probably should have done that a little bit more against Auburn, because the interception probably doesn't happen if Mitchell Bell's blocking an area.
Exactly. One thing I'm looking for this week is for Tech to really establish the run between the tackles. I think early on in the season we've done a great job at setting an edge as far as, you know, when we needed to get outside. It impressed me against Auburn how we were able to run those jet sweeps and pick up, like Jared said, 5.5 yards of carry with Carlos Henderson. But a key for Tech will be get Kenneth Dixon going between the tackles, moving the chains.
Predictions, fellas?
John?
He doesn't have a microphone.
37-23, Tech.
Puts it right at the over-under of 60.
I like where his head's at. I really do, even though I said 48-21.
37-23 is 14 points, so he's expecting Tech to cover.
I'm looking back over the games that Tech has played, and that's around when they've had success. They're scoring in the 40s.
And they're holding opponents to
in the 20s.
So, Ben?
I look for Tech to take that next step this week and say they win this one relatively easy, 42-24.
A little bit higher than the over-under of 60. I think that Louisiana Tech will score in the 40s. I think it's going to be 45. I think that UTEP will get a couple of early rushing touchdowns, you know, in the first half or something. I think it's going to be 45-27. 45-27.
So everybody says Tech wins relatively easily. John being the one that with the closest, he says comfortable. So maybe a garbage touchdown late for the Miners.
I don't think those scores are. I don't think those scores are unpredictable by any means. I think it's right at where Vegas has it or close to it, and I expect UTEP to get gashed on the ground, and I from if last week told us anything, it's that that defense can stop the run.
And they will not have as good of an offensive line as Auburn, and they won't have as talented of running backs as Auburn.
Correct. And also, you know, Louisiana Tech didn't do a bad job in the passing game, and Nick Marshall is – I mean, Jameel Showers is really not a great passer. He's going to try to, you know, to run the ball a little bit just like Nick Marshall did, and the wide receivers for
he's
UTEP –
he's definitely not as fast as Nick Marshall.
No, certainly not. And the wide receivers for UTEP are not as athletic as Quan Bray and Duke Williams.
The one touchdown that Quan Bray had against Levander took a really poor angle. Bray faked outside. Levander bit all over. I'm not sure where he thought he was going. I mean, they're 3 yards from the end line, from the boundary, I should say. You're not even – where is he going to go? If he wants to go that way, let him. But so he gets sucked out, and then he gives up his inside leverage, and it's over. Once you give up inside leverage to a guy like Quan Bray, you're not getting it back. So – That was disappointing to see, especially in a senior corner.
Right, and Levander has had a, I mean, he's had a good career at Tech. He's had a good season so far, and he's not tested a whole lot. A lot of people don't.
But it goes back to what we talked about: doing your job. That's a moment that if he doesn't lose his inside leverage, that touchdown may not happen.
Right, and that's one of the big plays, one of the six or seven plays that we talked about.
Do your job.
Certainly so.
Well, that's it for this week. Come check us out next week and check us out on BleedTechBlue.com for UTEP coverage, Louisiana Tech basketball coverage, football recruiting, basketball recruiting. We have it all. BleedTechBlue.com. Come check us out. You won't be disappointed. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday.